Yes. Firstly, I take on board the point made by the distinguished chairman, and we can fix this very easily by introducing a definition of parties, meaning a party with a small p that has made a declaration under Article 1. So I think that will be that we can fix very easily. The reference to a contracting state is only there to allow a reference to the contracting state where certain rights need to be reserved to that contracting state. The contracting state is not a party to this agreement and is not intended as such, given subject to the exceptions I made before, where they're involved as a commercial actor. They're not intended to be adopting the rules themselves. So there's a very clear distinction between the state and the state that has adopted the Luxembourg Rail Protocol, and on the other hand, the commercial actors who are day-to-day financing and operating the rolling stock. So two very separate things. And if we can make that even clearer, excellent. I would be very supportive. I take on board the comments made concerning the description of the item of railway rolling stock. Let me just explain to Mr. Potenza that the reason we put in the definition of railway rolling stock is because we were asked to. We had understood that it was better that the model rules as much as possible can be read on a standalone basis rather than constantly referring back to another instrument. And that's why we put that in there. Now, that doesn't mean that the drafting is perfect. It isn't. And we could certainly hopefully simplify things by perhaps having a separate definition for an item of railway rolling stock so that the definition itself doesn't read in an incredibly lengthy way. So happy to do that. And I think that the conclusion from both of Mr. Potenza and from Mr. Lehmacher is absolutely correct. That's exactly what we're intending to do, which is to match the industry practice. So if an individual passenger coach is immatriculated, has its own immatriculation number and registration, then there will be a separate Orvis number for that coach. And from what I hear, that is the case both in the 1520 gauge system and in the Western standard gauge system. So we would want to follow that practice. If the drafting doesn't do that sufficiently clearly, then we will make it clear. That's one of the jobs, I think, of the drafters after this meeting. But that's the intention. I am aware of the fact that in TGVs, the carriages cannot just be chopped and rolled away. There would have to be some work done to lift a wagon onto a bogie. And we can talk about, we want superstructures if necessary. But in fact, I think maybe the best way to deal with this is as Mr. Potenza has suggested, which is that we make it clear that this should operate in line with current industry practice, in particular on the immatriculation of rolling stock. And in that case, that will automatically lead to the conclusion, certainly in relation to conventional rolling stock, that that the item is either separable and has a separate registration number and Orvis number, or it is a part of another asset. Now, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that this protocol also applies to trams and to other types of rolling stock, which is not covered by the conventional immatriculation system. So we may need a subsidiary definition there somewhere just to make sure that we cover off all possibilities of describing an autonomous individual item as opposed to the complete train set. So in Zurich, for example, there are often trams which actually have two carriages, and one of them is articulated. That means that there would be two items of railway rolling stock, not three. I think it's our challenge to try and make sure that we provide wording for that. And it goes back a little bit to one of the points I was making a little bit earlier, that there may be scope accompanying these rules to have some guidance notes so that it's absolutely clear what we're intending to do. And that will be helpful both for operators and, well, hopefully not, but in the case that if it does go in front of a judge at any time or an arbitrator, that he has a very clear understanding as to what the drafters of this set of rules are trying to achieve.